In part two of our interview with Dr. Jan Koura from the Cold War Research Group at Charles University, we look at Czechoslovak economic, political and educational involvement in the Third World during the Cold War. Czechoslovakia sought not just to bring socialism into Africa and Latin America, but also to establish strong economic ties that would benefit its own industry, he says.
You were telling me, you know, there were voices within the Czechoslovak intelligence service which were saying we should focus more on Czechoslovak interests. We also know that, of course, after 1968, there was a kind of purge of the Czechoslovak intelligence services. A lot of people were fired. A lot of people had to retire. So what exactly happened? Is that the reason why we can't maybe find so many successes after 1968 or after the 60s? Or, you know, did the Soviet Union successfully sort of push this down, or what happened?
Czechoslovak intelligence really wanted in the Third World to be more active and to work more for the Czechoslovak interests, for example, the business interests. And yeah, the Prague Spring changed the situation. First of all, there was, in general, a turn in the Eastern Bloc policy towards the Third World, because all these states enthusiastically entered the Third World arena in the late 50s and early 1960s. They really thought that they can transform the Third World very quickly to the socialist world, or that these countries, newly independent countries that would join the socialists' camp. But it didn't happen, because the Eastern Bloc states recognize that especially the African or Latin American politicians very often just using the socialist assistance, abusing this, taking willingly loans but don't pay back. And from mid-1960s, we have the documents that both the Soviets and Czechoslovaks were really upset of the situation in the Third World. And they changed the policy that the Eastern Bloc had to more concentrate on countries that have some potential to become socialists. So in the 1970s...
Which countries were those? I'm just curious, sorry.
At the end of the 1960s, it was, for example, the Krumach's Ghana, but there was a coup in 1966, and Ghana was pro-socialist country, not anymore. To these countries belonged also for a short time also the Egypt, but this alliance was also changing, because the President Nasser was one of these examples that he was playing both sides, the Western and the Eastern. And in the 1980s, it was, for example, Ethiopia, when was this pro-communist coup. So Ethiopia was in the 80s supported by the Eastern Bloc quite intensively. And also the Czechoslovak intelligence was active in Ethiopia. For the 1980s, there was a residentura in Addis Ababa.
That's very interesting, because, you know, how many people, for example, from Ethiopia or from several African states were educated, as you already said, in Czechoslovakia. Do you think, in a sort of strange way, that particular thing is still beneficial for today's Czech Republic, that there are these close ties precisely because of that? I'll give an example. My grandfather accidentally took a coral with him from Egypt, and he was stopped on the Egyptian airport, and it looked like he was going to possibly go to prison. But the Egyptian policeman suddenly came and he said, "I studied in the Czech Republic. It's fine. You just leave it here and go." Is it helpful, do you think, still today in economic terms or cultural terms, or do you think that time is largely gone?
When the Eastern Bloc had these strong ties with the Third World during the Cold War, it ended very, very quickly after 1989, when the revolutions came to the Eastern Europe. And the countries of the East Central Europe began to develop their relationship with the Western states, with the EU. Then later they became the member of the NATO. And these ties with the Third World were broken very quickly. And yeah, there is the question if it was a right decision or not. I understand that after 40 years of communism, the Czechoslovakia, the Czech Republic wanted to approach more to the West. But economically, I'm a historian, not economist. I don't know if it's beneficial for the Czech Republic, but there are these ties. And I was doing research in Ethiopia the last year, and I interviewed some of these students that studied in Czechoslovakia. Some of them are fluent in Czech. And they told me that it's a pity that there are no stronger connections between the Czechoslovakia and Ethiopia in the political, economical matters. So there are still thousands of people educated in the Eastern Bloc or in Czechoslovakia that know the language, know the country, and not all of them, but some of them have good memories for these studies. I said not all of them because not everybody was happy in Czechoslovakia during these studies because, of course, there was a problems with the racism or the climate. African students complained that it's too cold in Czechoslovakia, language is complicated, and culture is different. Culture was very different also for the students from the Arabic countries because they have really different habits. So the aim of these culture exchanges or educational exchanges was, again, to educate the people from the third world. And there was a hope that they will bring socialism back to their home countries because it was not allowed them to stay in the Czechoslovakia, just some exception when someone married here could stay. But the aim was to send them back to spread the socialism, but in this tactic was the Eastern Bloc not successful because not all of them were very keen on socialism. Some of them sobered from socialism during their studies. They recognized the limitations of socialism, that its living in the socialist country was more difficult than they thought.
And of course, just to add to that, these people were, you know, the main reasons why they were studying the Czechoslovakia from their perspective was, of course, to learn, you know, technologies, science. I mean, a lot of these people were there mainly to study like engineering and stuff like that, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, it's correct. Or medicine. So, of course, we cannot view everything from this Cold War and political perspective. Thousands of engineers, doctors, teachers, technicians were educated in the Eastern Bloc and then helped to transform their countries. And so in this way, really, we can say that to share the knowledge, technologies with some underdeveloped countries, that in this way was also the Eastern Bloc significantly influencing or changing the situation in these countries. So it's one of these other levels of this Cold War educational exchanges.
I just wanted to quickly add, you sort of said, you know, that there were some people who have fond memories and some people who don't have fond memories. Is it just on an individual basis? Do we know, is it possible to generalize like which states, which groups were okay with Czechoslovakia or studying Czechoslovakia and which not?
We cannot generalize, but there was a conflict within the foreign students. Of course, there were some conflicts between the Congolese students supporting the different sides. Some of the foreign students had also the sympathies for the Chinese communism, and during the Sino-Soviet split, it was not accepted by the Czechoslovak authorities. There were also some conflicts between the Arab students because Egyptians could have some different view on some issues and the students from Syria and etc. So several also some conflicts within the foreign students communities.
When you started talking about all of this Czechoslovak relative success, I guess, in the 1960s in the Third World compared to their size. And you said that they were often active there already before. What do you mean by that? For example, if we compare it with states like Hungary or Poland, was this connected, I guess, to Czech economic activity, to Czech exports before? Or could you tell us a bit of that story? Why were the Czech agents so able to penetrate so deeply in these countries? What was the past reason?
Several reasons. Czechoslovakia had quite highly developed economic relations with the Third World already before the Second World War. Czechoslovakia was the export country. One of the popular export articles and products were weapons. So Czechoslovakia was the weapons, one of the main weapons exporters to the Third World. And Czechoslovakia had the economic profits from these exports, not just the weapons, but also other products from cars, trucks.
Just shoes, of course, like shoes.
Yeah, it was also the shoes. Some of this know-how that Czechoslovakia used during the Cold War. By the way, in Ethiopia, Czechoslovakia builds a shoe factory. And this system was organized like that, that the Czechoslovak experts helped to build such kind of factory, then helped with the production process in these factories. And for this know-how, they were paid. And it means that also some product or resources could be delivered by Czechoslovakia. So one of these my theses that still needs to be confirmed, I think that the Czechoslovakia wanted these third world countries to be kind of their suppliers, a little bit or kind of semi-colonies. Not, of course, the colonialism in this old way, what the colonial powers were doing. But there are some evidence that the Czechoslovakia wanted to exploit these countries, more economically tied them. What Czechoslovakia had the interests for was the foreign currencies. Because there was no trade in the foreign currencies within the Eastern Bloc. And when Czechoslovakia, as an export country, needed to buy some mineral resources or some products at the Western markets, they needed the hard currency. And they have the lack of these currencies. But to trade with these countries, like the Ghana, Ethiopia, that still were interconnected with the Western economy. So it could be also the source of hard currencies.
I see. So in other words, they would sell Czechoslovak products for American dollars or something in that regard. Is that sort of what you're getting at?
Yeah, I think that it was the Czechoslovak aim, but it didn't work like that. Yeah, this idea like to export the tractors to Ghana and to get the British pounds or the American dollars. But of course, these newly independent countries had also the economic problems. And very often such relations or these exports were made by the loans. And socialist states hoped that these countries would return the money very quickly, but it didn't happen. Then they changed a little bit the tactic. They tried, the Eastern Bloc states, to barter the products.
Barter?
Barter, yeah.
Like, so exchanging for something else, the money?
Yeah, for changing, not the money, products. So in the case of Ghana, very interesting examples, the Czechoslovakia tried to barter the Czechoslovak tractors for cocoa beans because the chocolate production in Czechoslovakia was growing, and the chocolate consumption was at the high level in Czechoslovakia or was intensifying. And cocoa beans were very expensive, mainly on the London stock market. And to buy the cocoa beans and abroad, it was expensive for Czechoslovakia. So they tried to barter it for the tractors. But the Ghana refused because also when the Ghana was selling the cocoa beans on the Western markets, was getting more money and could buy these tractors or other products for the hard currency they get from selling cocoa beans.